This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Gillespie High School, where today we will have IHSA 2A baseball regional play. It's a semifinal game pitting the Litchfield Purple Panthers against the Staunton Bulldogs. My name is Gary Boker alongside Carl DeBar. Had a good one yesterday in Hillsboro with the girls. Today, expect the same here.
Well, you got to expect the same. And when it gets in tournament time, every team knows it's win, or go on, or lose, and you're done for the year.
Well, Litchfield got into this game in a preliminary game in which they defeated East Alton Wood River yesterday 6-4. Litchfield came in as the number 9 seed. They defeated the 8th seed East Alton Wood River, and they now earn the right to play the number 1 seeded Staunton Bulldogs. Staunton comes in with a 21-4 record. Litchfield comes in with an 8-14 record. We're about ready to get this one underway as the players on the infield have broken up from their meeting with the pitcher, and the catcher's going to come back behind the plate. For the Litchfield Purple Panthers of Chris Hedrick, who is in his second year with a 13-33 record, they're 8-14 on the season, and Billy Beckham, the junior center fielder, will lead off for the Purple Panthers. Nick Yates on the mound, and he throws the first one right in there for a called strike. The sun is a shining, just a few white clouds, not threatening, here this afternoon. Second pitch, Beckham hits this one up over the center field head, but the center fielder is able to go deep into right center field and make a diving, sliding catch. What a play there by Marcus Carl. What a way to start the day.
Nothing like a great play to start a ball game.
And of course,
he had a long ways to go.
Yeah, the center fielder, as we're looking from home plate out towards center field, we're looking to the northeast. So as he was looking back trying to track that ball, he was looking right into the sun, did a good job of catching up with that one. I thought it had trouble written all over it, but Marcus Carl saves the day. Tanner Odell now steps in for the Purple Panthers. The senior shortstop takes strike one. Now Yates is going to rock and fire, and it's going to be popped up. Coming back this way, will the catcher have room? He'll run out of room as he runs into the net, and the count goes to 0-2. Billy Beckham in the number one slot, Tanner Odell batting second, Andrew De La Cruz will bat third, Ty Dobernick will bat fourth, fifth place hitter will be Chase Lauderdale, number six will be Reese Kulick, number seven Jake Jergena, number eight it'll be Brady Bishop, and number nine will be Jacob Frericks. An 0-2 count on Odell. High and away, it's a ball, and the count goes to 1-2. Looking at the Staunton Bulldogs, Nick Yates is out there on the mound. His battery mate is Cullen McBride behind the plate. This one comes in low, and the count goes to 2-2. Around the infield, it's Zach Urey at third, Devin Ray at short, Ryan Best at second, and Cy Cox at first. In the outfield, left to right, it'll be 3-1. Austin Tallman, Marcus Carl, and Griffin Miyako. Here comes the pitch. Back to the pitcher. He'll knock it down. Yates will field it and fire it on to first. It'll go 1-3 for out number two. And that'll bring up the number three hitter, Andrew De La Cruz. So first two hitters been going right up the middle. One sent it deep into right center. The other one right back to the pitcher.
And that's always a good hitting approach for about any hitter. Take the ball up the middle.
De La Cruz is going to bat from the left side. He'll foul the first one off. So he'll stand in with an 0-1 count. De La Cruz, a senior, second baseman, steps back in. Little bit of dust around the plate area. Not a whole lot of rain here yesterday. Second pitch is fouled off to the left, and the count goes 0-2 on De La Cruz.
They weren't where we were.
No. Well, talking to Mr. Smith, senior and junior, they had headed to Hillsboro expecting to see the Gillespie Lady Miners play. Got about halfway there, and it got poured on, so they had to turn around and come back. And now they won't be able to watch them today as the girls are playing in Hillsboro while the boys are helping to run the tournament here in Gillespie. So the Smith contingency have to do their hosting duties today. That one comes in low, and the count goes to 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, nobody on, two out. Cruz Dela Cruz stands back in with a 2-2 pitch coming. He'll swing and ground this one to the second baseman. Takes a little bobble, picks it up, and they'll punch him out. 4-3 on a very close play at first base. And that will retire the side for the Litchfield Purple Panthers here in the first inning. No hits, no runs, no errors, nobody left. We'll go to the bottom of the first. Litchfield and Staunton scoreless. You're listening to WSMI. That's right. You're listening to 106.1 as we are at WSMI FM 106, and we are at Gillespie bringing you high school baseball as the Staunton Bulldogs in the bottom of the first. They'll send up Marcus Carl, the center fielder, in the number two slot will be Ryan Best, the second baseman. Cy Cox will bat third and play first base. Nick Yates, the pitcher, will bat in the cleanup spot. Austin Tallman batting fifth, playing left field. Griffin Bianco batting sixth and playing in right field. Devin Ray, the shortstop, will bat in the number seven slot. Batting eighth, Zach Urey, the third baseman, and batting ninth, Cullen McBrien, the sophomore catcher for the Staunton Bulldogs, who come in with a record of 21-4, and something that I think is close to astounding. Not only did they win the South Central Conference Championship during the season, but they went undefeated against some very tough opponents in the South Central Conference.
Yeah, you just got to tip your hats to the Staunton Bulldogs. What an incredible year to rack up a 20-win season, because South Central's got some pretty good ball clubs in it.
And as Coach McBrain, Coach McBrain said prior to game today, he said, "Yeah," and he said, "You know what? All of that means nothing." I said, "Well, it means nothing in the moment, but in the memories, it'll last forever." He says, "You're right there." So McBrain, as we said, he is in his eighth year at Staunton with a 103-80 record. As Reese Kulik throws one up and in for ball one to Marcus Carl. Carl, a senior center fielder, made a good catch at the top of the inning. He'll lead things off in the bottom of the inning and take ball two as that one went through the wicket, as they say.
Definitely could have been a different ball game right off the bat without that play he makes. See, Rob's probably an extra base hit, and then, you know, have a ground out, so the runner would have been at third with one out.
Evidently, the warm-up tosses didn't help Reese Cully because he's having trouble finding range here in the early going. We're at 315 down each line. What is that, 380 to center field?
I believe 380, center.
That's a good long poke to center field. With the wind blowing out of the north, a high strike is called. Carl wasn't convinced that was the correct call, but he'll not say anything. Simply step out, then step back in, and wait for the 3-1 pitch from Reese Kulik. Here it comes, and he pops it straight back and out of play. And the count goes full on the leadoff hitter. Three balls, two strikes. Nobody on, nobody out here in the bottom of the first for the Staunton Bulldogs. Here comes the full count pitch, and it's just outside. Good eye there by Carl as he gets a leadoff walk, and that's the way we start the bottom of the first.
The second baseman, number 8, Ryan Best.
So Staunton comes in as the top-seeded team in the regional. With one on and nobody out, that'll bring up the junior second baseman, Ryan Best. Off the stretch, Kulik will bring to the plate. It's high. Attempted steal. Throw goes over the head of the second baseman and on to third. And overthrow, but it's backed up. And the base runner, Carl, gets a stolen base. And on the error, he'll move to third. So just that quickly, Staunton has runner scoring position with nobody out.
Just what you'd like to see out of your leadoff man, ability to steal a base, and not only does he get the stolen base, he gets the extra base on the overthrow.
Well, that thick grass out there in the outfield may have helped, because the center fielder coming in charging had to come a long way. As soon as that ball hit the grass, it really deadened out. Now a swing and a miss. And that'll even the count at 1-1. Ryan Best, the number two hitter. Cy Cox, the freshman first baseman, waiting on deck. Staunton seeing if they can't strike first here in the first. Here comes the pitch. Breaking ball on the outside corner. Got a good call there, did Reese Kulik. And so that makes the count 1-2. Ryan Best got to protect the plate now with two strikes. He'll take a couple practice swings. Now settle in. Waves that bat a little bit. And looks at strike three. That will be the first out of the first inning. And that was a dangerous pitch there as he brought that one in low. And it broke just enough to stay in the strike zone. And Best is retired for the first out in the first. So one on, one out for Cy Cox. He'll bat from the left side and take ball one, low and away. Cox, a very impressive young athlete, regardless of what sport he plays. Plays first base for the Bulldogs here in the baseball season. He'll slice this one just over the head of the on-deck hitter. Nick Yates did a good job of avoiding that one, and the count goes to 1-1. You would call this a sun-drenched field, wouldn't you?
Yes, indeedy. And gotta love the temperature after we was hitting the high 90s almost.
Well, I was thinking humidity. I also like that breeze. Yesterday we were having trouble getting any kind of a gentle breeze until all of a sudden the clouds rolled in and the wind brought the rain. We didn't want that either, but that's the way things happen. All right, two balls, one strike, one out, runner on third. Cox digs in and fouls this one over again on the left side. Yates got to stay heads up over there in that on-deck circle. The lefty, Cy Cox, with the count now at 2-2, looking to see if they can drive that runner in. Leadoff walk, stolen base, and an error got him to third base. Can they get him home? That breaking ball stayed outside all the way, and the count goes full. Three balls and two strikes with a runner on third and one out. Bottom of the first here at Gillespie High School. I don't know who all was responsible. Swing and a miss. Strikeout number two. And don't look now, but Reese Kulik is one out away from getting out of this jam in which the leadoff runner is perched down at third, and he's been there for a while.
That'd be a big feather in his cap if he can find a way to get out of a bad runner on third with nobody out. And so far he's found that way with two strikeouts.
I was about to say, I don't know who's in charge of the groundskeeping around here, but they have done an outstanding job. This field looks great. First pitch to Nick Yates, the senior pitcher, is fouled off to the right. And it's 0-1.
Well, you got the grass infield with the dirt for the bases, but you also have the grass down the line, which makes a great bunny surface for people that learn how to bunt, which is kind of a lost art almost.
And I think it's a lot easier to manicure when you don't have the baselines. Right up the middle it goes, takes a big hop for the second baseman. He'll throw to first, but it's too late, as that time Nick Yates simply legged out the infield single. He'll get the RBI as Marcus Carl comes around to score, and you can't fault fielder on that one. He got over to it, took a big hop there coming off the edge of the turf, and as a result, it's an RBI single for Nick Yates, who legged that one out. And so with Yates now down at first base, one run in. Ooh, he was leaning the wrong way, but the throw over to first was high. Stockamp makes the catch, but cannot get the tag down in time. Austin Tallman, the senior left fielder, now batting for the Bulldogs. Red jerseys, gray pants is the attire of the day for the Bulldogs. Pitch is high, goes back to the backstop. On the play, Yates was running, so he gets down to second base easily. As we said, the Bulldogs wearing their red tops, their gray pants, white numerals, white helmets for everybody there also. Of course, Litchfield wearing their purple tops and their white bottoms. That's why they call them the Purple Panthers. So now Tallman looking at a 1-0 count with a runner now down in scoring position. Off the stretch, pitch is high. as Kulik, who walked the leadoff hitter, then picked up two strikeouts. Then the RBI single from Yates played Staunton their first run of the game. And he's 2-0 on the number five hitter, Austin Tallman. From the stretch to the plate. Swing and a miss on a high hard one. Kulik threw that one by Tallman. He simply couldn't catch up with it. So that makes our count 2-1. Runner still perched down there at second base. He'll be taking off with contact with two outs. Oh, the breaking ball started off way inside, broke late, right over the inside corner of the plate. That may be the best pitch we've seen from Kulik today.
Finally got in the groove. Remember, he starts off with a walk and couldn't find the plate.
He found it there, and the count goes to 2-2. He's one strike away from getting out of this one. They're going to try to steal third, and they will, as ball three is low and away. Yates was on the move with the pitch, and he stands up going into third. He's just 90 feet away, and, of course, you say, well, how important is that? Well, it's a wild pitch pass ball away. You got more ways you can score.
Infield hit.
From third base now. However, Tallman swings and misses, striking out. So in the inning, Reese Kulik strikes out the side as he has three Ks, but he gives up one hit, one run, one walk, one left on base. We've completed one, and after one inning play, it is Staunton 1, Litchfield nothing, and you're listening to WSMI. It's FM 106. That's what you're listening to, and it's high school regional baseball action coming your way today as we're in Gillespie. But the two teams participating are the Staunton Bulldogs, the number one seeded team in this regional, and the number nine seeded Litchfield Purple Panthers. And as we said, Litchfield, with a victory over East Alton Wood River yesterday, gets them into the semifinal action. Today, the winner of this game will move on to Saturday's championship game to take place at 11 a.m. Their opponent will be either Hillsboro or Gillespie, who will play tomorrow. Some pretty evenly matched teams in this regional, I would say, Carl.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that have already faced each other several times and had those close ball games. So a lot of times the familiarity makes it a much closer ball game too.
Well, when you've got Staunton, Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Gillespie,
right,
you more or less have a South Central regional here, as four of the 10 teams are in this regional. That'll take us to the top of the second, and Ty Dobrynik, the senior third baseman for the Purple Panthers, will lead things off against Nick Yates. Yates, who coaxed a fly ball into center field for the first out, and a ground back to himself, and then a grounder to second base for an easy 1-2-3 inning in the first. Ball is swung on and fouled back by Dobrynik, and that'll even our count up at 1-1. A good catch by Marcus Carl in the first inning. Retired the first batter that we faced. Now a strike on the outside corner makes it 1-2. Then a couple ground ball outs. That was it for the Purple Panthers in the first inning. In the second inning, the 4, 5, and 6 hitters due up. Dobrynik, Lauderdale, and Kulik. And this one is low and away, and the count will go to 2-2 on Ty Dobrynik, the senior third baseman. He'll stand in there, wave that bat a couple times. Now wave it above his head. Now settle in and wait, and foul this one back. A little late on the delivery of the swing, but he stays alive, and the count will remain 2-2. We're playing here in the second inning. Only one game today for here at Gillespie. We ended up with only one girls game yesterday from Hillsboro. Got a good soaking rain, however. This pitch bounces in, and the count goes full. So Nick Yates having a little bit of trouble finding the plate here, as Dobrynik has run the count full. He'll settle in with a 3-2 pitch coming to him. And it's high for a leadoff walk. Well, in the first, the bottom of the first, I should say, the Staunton Bulldogs were the recipient of a walk. And now here it is in the top of the second. Litchfield gets the walk. Following the free pass to Dobrynik, that'll bring up Chase Lauderdale, the senior left fielder. We're number 99 on that jersey. Not a typical number, I guess you'd say, for a baseball uniform.
No, not typical.
But he wears it well, and as he'll probably tell you, it took a lot of ink to be able to put two nines on there. He bats with one on and nobody out. Called strike one. Here comes the delivery. Oh, going to bunt. Now they got the runner caught off first. He doesn't know where to go. Catcher's going to run right at him. Pitcher gets in the way as he tries to throw to second. Now they'll fire back to first, and the ball will get away. There is an alert right fielder. Did you catch that?
He was right there.
Griffin Bianco came all the way in from behind, from right field to get behind the first baseman, and when the throw was an errant one, he was able to corral it and keep that runner at first base. Well, they always say when you get the runner caught off base between first and second, the catcher has to run right at him until he makes a commitment.
Probably should have made a few more steps toward
the
runner, shouldn't he? And almost picked him off there.
Almost got him.
Well, nine lives, and he's already burnt two of them.
Well, you have to understand that this field did not get the rain that we saw in other parts of the area yesterday, so there's a lot of dust there, and I think he may have slipped trying to get back to first base. Nonetheless, he's safely there, and Lauderdale will step back in with a 1-1 count. We're in the second. Lauderdale offers, and it'll be strike two. Pitch may have been on the outside corner or just off the corner. Lauderdale couldn't catch up with it, but it'll be a 1-2 count on the senior left fielder, Chase Lauderdale. Kind of rather open stance, that foot pointing down, or left foot pointing down towards third. This pitch is outside, and the count goes 2-2. Well, as we look through the innings of the game, one thing we're going to have to be aware of is that Yates is building up his pitch count by going long in the count to these batters.
Had a very good first inning, 12 pitches.
This one is fouled back, and it'll go out of play.
And guess what? That was his 12th pitch in this inning.
And nobody out.
And nobody out. So definitely not the same as the first inning.
Well, actually, he got the first two batters out fairly decently, but then the second batter, I think he went 2-2 on him, and it was 2-2 on the third batter, then walks the leadoff hitter here. And as you said, five more pitches already to the second hitter. So it's a 2-2 count. Throw over to first is late as Dobrynik gets back in safely. Oh, Lauderdale swings at one. It was high and away. He'll become the first out of the inning and the first strikeout victim for Nick Yates.
The pitcher, number 18, Reese Kulik.
And that'll put pitcher on pitcher here as Nick Yates will face his counterpart, Reese Kulik.
See, Reese had to throw 20 in his first inning, so that's kind of a rough inning. You're not going to last long in the ballgame, 20-plus pitches per inning.
What was in the pros the other day, a guy had 45 pitches to get out of one inning? Pop up.
That makes it easier, though.
Second baseman having trouble. He's going to give way to the right fielder who's looking into that sun, and he waits for it to settle down and comes up with a catch. Good play there by Bianco, staying with that one. Looked like a routine fly ball.
True.
However, with this sun and a little bit of breeze, I don't think there's any such animal.
The sun especially, and the breeze is just so-so on the ball right now, but boy, that sun and the right field is really going to face a tough sun today.
So Bianco has come up with two good plays here in this inning already, one where he backed up the first baseman, and this time where he backed up the second baseman and came into shallow right to catch a very high pop fly. That'll bring Jake Jurgena to the plate. He'll look at strike one. Now with that runner down at first base and two men out, Nick Yates with the number 7 hitter, Jurgena, seeing if he can't wiggle out of this leadoff walk situation here in the second inning. He'll bring the 0-1 pitch. Little high. One ball, one strike to Jake Jurgena. Family name pronounced differently down Roxana way. It's Jurgena, longtime track coach down there. But it's Jurgena in Litchfield. His third offering just misses. And it's 2-1. Either you would say Jergena has a very good eye or the umpire does not, but either event, it's 2-1, so we don't worry about that. That one was a pretty easy one to call as it went upstairs and the count goes 3-1. So after a leadoff walk, Yates got a strikeout and a fly out to right field for two outs. Now he's threatening to walk a second batter. And he does, as that one is low and away. And Jergena will go down to first base with the second walk of the inning.
Now batting for the Purple Panthers.
And Dobernik will go on to second. So with runners on first and second and two out, that's going to bring up Brady Bishop, the sophomore. Bishop's going to stand in from the left side. He's the designated hitter today, and he's looking to see if he can't drive home a tying and maybe a go-ahead run for the Purple Panthers. This one's on the outside corner, and Brady was taking all the way. And I think that's probably a pretty good idea. If the pitcher's had some control trouble, you might be able to get ahead on the count.
A couple walks this inning.
The lefty stands back in and watches this one go very far outside, and the count goes even 1-1. Dobernik at second base, Jergena at first, two out, Brady Bishop, the sophomore, batting from the left side. Tries to slice that one down the left field line, hits the facing of the dugout, and bounces back in play. That's one of those where you say, straighten it out just a little bit. If you get it to go over that third baseman's head, we might be able to score a run. Now Bishop going to have to protect the plate with one ball and two strikes. The sophomore stands in. The runners lead away from first and second. Yates to the stretch, now to the plate. Pokes it into center field, but there's Marcus Carl coming in. Got a bead on it. He'll make the catch for the third out. And so despite the fact that the Purple Panthers threaten, they have no hits and they have no runs. They had two walks. They left two on base. We'll go to the bottom of the second, and our score reads Staunton 1, Litchfield nothing. You're listening to WSMI. Carl DeBar along with Gary Boker. We're coming your way on WSMI, and we go into the bottom of the second. The Staunton Bulldogs with a 1-0 lead. Litchfield Purple Panthers had a mini threat there, utilizing a couple walks to get a couple base runners, but they couldn't bring them around when they needed to. So far, the Bulldogs, they'll have the 6th, 7th, and 8th hitters coming up here in the second. First delivery from Kulik is high and away to Griffin Bianco, who takes ball one. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a strike.
Strike.
Oh. Okay. That would make it 0-2. I definitely thought the first one was out of the strike zone, but that shows I've got new glasses but old eyes and still miss them. So now the amended count is 0-2, and Bianco looks at that one. Thank you. Now my score sheet is right with a 1-2 count.
Yeah, there you
go. All I had to be was patient.
Be patient.
It'll come around. And it does. Here comes the delivery. Back up the middle. Oh, right through the legs of the pitcher. Second baseman come over with a nice diving stop and makes the put out. I'm going to send that one 1-4-3 because I think the pitcher did get a hand on it.
He got something on it.
Yeah.
Hit a glove, part of the leg or something.
But credit Andrew De La Cruz as second base because he just went right over to the ball, had to make kind of a sliding pickup, planted himself, got a lot on the throw to first, and over at first base, Jacob Stockamp made a good pickup to retire the leadoff hitter. That'll bring up Devin Ray, the sophomore shortstop for the Bulldogs. He'll take ball one. Ray batting in the number 7 slot. Bats with one out here in the second. He'll send this out into center field. Center fielder's on the run, and makes the catch as he was running away from the infield into right center field. Seen some good play from center fielders today. Billy Beckham was the one that made that nice catch, and that was not an easy out.
Another good play. Our center fielders have been showing their glove today for both teams.
Well, the one thing Beckham may have had a bit of advantage, it was a long run as he was running into right center field, but at least he wasn't looking right back into the sun directly. And it looked like he got a good bead on it and definitely closed in. Ball one up and in to Zach Urey, the freshman third baseman for the Bulldogs. Here comes the next delivery, and it goes outside. And the count goes to 2-0. Two balls, no strikes to Zach Urey, the freshman third baseman, stands in with nobody on, 2 out. This one just off the corner. 3 balls, no strikes, as Reese Kulik is in danger of walking the second batter of the game. Walked the leadoff hitter, Marcus Carl, who came around to score on a stolen base and an error on the throw, and then the RBI single. Now a pitch comes in high, and Urey goes down to first base with the second walk of the day for the Bulldogs. That'll bring up the sophomore catcher, Cullen McBride. McBride wearing a big number 7 on the back of his jersey. Checks down with Coach McBrain to see any special instructions. Coach McBrain says, yes, try to put one over that fence out there. Or at least find a gap and give Urey a chance to score. McBride settles in. Pitches high, gets away from the catcher. And the base runner will go down to second. Giving that one a pass ball. I think he should have had that one. Really immaterial. What is material is that the runner's down to second base with 2 outs. McBride with an opportunity for an RBI here. Double the score if he can. 0-1 count. Timeout is called at home plate. McBride will step out, stretch a little bit, take that helmet off, wipe off the sweat. The ladies perspire, the gentlemen, they sweat. That's what I've been told anyway. Back to live action we go as this one comes in high and tight. And the count will go to 1-1. 1 ball, 1 strike, runner on second, 2 out, bottom of the second, Staunton with a 1-0 lead. Now that brings you up to date pretty much. As Kulik from the stretch brings it a little bit outside. And the count goes to 2-1. Tell you what, both these pitchers are doing a good job of staying pretty close to the corner of the plate. When they're missing them, they're not missing them by much. So here comes the 2-1 delivery from Kulik to McBride. Inside, and the count goes to 3-1. 3 balls and 1 strike. And, of course, you do have a base open, but you really don't want to go back to the top of the order if you can get out of this inning with a number 9 hitter.
That's one thing about this Bulldog lineup. It seems to be pretty solid from 1 through 9.
McBride, the sophomore. Oh, not even close. That was way high and way outside after retiring the first two batters of the inning. It's now been back-to-back walks for Kulik. And going to have a pinch runner coming in there. Castaldi. Cody Castaldi, the junior, will be the pinch runner for the Bulldogs down first. McBride will have an opportunity to go back and rest for a second and get his catcher's equipment on. Castaldi down there at first base, Urey at second base, and Carl, Marcus Carl, who walked his first time, steps back in. The umpire has to take care of some paperwork. He gets that done, slips his mask back on, and says, hey guys, let's play ball. With runners on first and second now, 2 out, bottom of the second. Bulldogs already leading 1-0. On the outside corner, called strike 1. Marcus Carl batting in the leadoff spot, wearing number 1 on the back of his jersey. Base hit here could drive in a run for the Bulldogs. Breaking ball is outside, and the count evens up at 1-1. Carl just looking for something he can drive to the outfield. Try to get it between the fielders if possible. Instead, he'll get it to the third base coach, who says, too hot to handle. Coach McBrain says, I've got brains. When they're that hot, you let them go by. And then tell one of your other players to go chase it down, guys. They'll take care of it. 1-2 pitch. Ooh, just missed. And that'll put the count at 2-2. Pitch was awful close to the corner plate, and Carr was awful close to going around. But both decisions came his way, and now he'll foul this one off the right side. Stockamp will give a little chase, and then he'll decide, nope, it's going over the fence. We'll go back and reset at first base. So the runners will go back and re-tag, take their lead off. Two ball, two strike pitch coming to Marcus Carl. Upstairs it goes, and the count goes full. Advantage to Staunton. With a full count and two out, both runners will be off on the pitch here. So if you hit a gapper here, there's a good possibility you can score two. Cullen McBride, pinch runner down there is Castaldi. With good speed, he knows he can make it from first. Instead, it'll be a pitch low and away, and all of a sudden, control problems for Kulik as he has walked three in a row. Mm.
And look to be going for a very easy inning up to the first walk here, and after a good play actually by De La Cruz up the middle. And now he's pushed over 16 pitches from early, almost being out of the inning with eight pitches.
It's one thing about baseball, the momentum can change in the weirdest ways. Now a fly ball down the right field side. It's going to drift out of play. Ryan Betts wanted to give that one a ride, but a little late on the swing, and so the count goes to 0-1. Bases loaded, two out, bottom of the second. Staunton up 1-0. Betts could make for a comfortable lead for the Bulldogs here if he can poke one in the gap. Right fielder playing over close to the line. Center fielder shading him a little bit to the left, so a big hole in right center. Strike called as that one broke in. Kind of handcuffed the catcher. Got away from him, but not that far that the runner could advance, so the bases remain full. Good job by Jake Gajurgana corralling that one before it got too far away from home plate. So now no balls and two strikes for Kulik. He throws this one looking for the outside corner, but he just missed. I like his location, though. He knew where he wanted to go. Didn't get the call, but he had the right idea. And the count goes to 1-2. Runners lead off from first, second, and third. Here's the delivery. Foul ball as Best got just a piece of it. I think he may have just hit a little bit of the stitching. There wasn't much contact, but it was enough to keep him alive. He said, okay, now let's see if I can hit the rest of the ball this time. One ball, two strikes, the count remains. Runners leading away. Fly ball down the right field line. Right fielder giving chase, but it goes out of play. Jacob Frerichs out there in right field shows some pretty good speed trying to close down on that one, but he ran out of room.
Got a lot of foul territory, but, boy, it's about impossible to get all the way to that deep corner there.
It's still 1-0 with the bases loaded and two out, and the count remains 1-2 on the number two hitter, Ryan Best. He tries to poke another one over to the right side. First baseman going to give chase. This one's going to land foul right up against the fence. Nobody could get to that one either. So Best lives to fight another day here. Right fielder looks like he may have gone in just a little bit more shallow now. He said, you hit one out here again, I'll get that one. Best says, I'm trying to hit the gap between you and the center fielder if I can. Here comes the pitch. To the second baseman it goes. Takes a good hop. He picks it up, fires over, and out is Ryan Best. And so the Staunton Bulldogs, they threaten here in the bottom of the second. They had no runs. They had no hits. They had no errors, three left on base. So through two innings, the Bulldogs of Staunton have stranded four runners. They lead, however, 1-0 as we move on to the third. You're listening to WSMI. We head to the top of the third. You're listening to high school baseball regional play, IHSA play, coming your way from Gillespie High School. Moving to the top of the third, it's Carl DeVard, Gary Boker, and the Litchfield Purple Panthers dodged a bullet there, three walks in the inning, but they didn't give up any runs to the Staunton Bulldogs. Now the Staunton Bulldogs will head out defensively. Nick Yates, of course, the pitcher. Cullen McBride is the catcher. Zach Urie's at third. Devin Ray's at short. Ryan Best is at second. And Cy Cox is at first. In the outfield from left to right, it's Austin Tallman, Marcus Carl, and Griffin Bianco. The infielders all gather at the mound and have a little discussion with the pitcher of encouragement. Now they break back to their positions, and it'll be the 8-9-1 hitters up for the Litchfield Purple Panthers here in the top of the third. Jacob Frerichs to lead things off.
And he was talking earlier about how the field looks great, but all the years they put into this field, making improvements every year. We also have those number nines out there. That's for Sammy Stewart.
Amen. Quite the gentleman, quite the coach.
He
did. Some would say quite the character.
And quite the character, but he put in the beginning of a lot of the work here.
You got that right. Jacob Frerichs fouls the first pitch back, and it's an 0-1 count. Frerichs batting from the left side. Is a freshman, a right fielder. Second pitch, bounces up to the plate, and the count goes to 1-1.
So pitch count wise, Nick is up 35, so 37 now. So he's still not too bad as territory. Now that last name was really hard on Cooley because he threw 28 just in that inning, so he's already up to 48 total before he starts his first pitch in the third inning.
But I'll tell you, the major problem that's occurring right now, that breeze is starting to bring up the scent of the barbecue coming off the grill.
Oh, you bet. Another good thing that goes on here in Gillespie.
If the microphone goes silent for a while, you just go ahead and take over. You'll know where I'll be.
Pork patties go very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we had to take care of some business. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but with a count of 1-1, the umpire comes back in and says, I'm ready. And, of course, Frerichs, he comes into the left side of the plate and says, I'm ready, as he looks at a called strike two. And the count goes to 1-2 on the leadoff hitter here in the top of the third, number nine hitter in the batting order, Jacob Frerichs, left-hand hitting right fielder for the Purple Panthers. Fouled this one right back at us. Thank God for sturdy screens. The netting here reminds me of our discus netting. You always warn the kids, don't stand too close because there's a little bit of give to that stuff. We're a safe distance away. This one comes in low, and the count will go to 2-2 on Jacob Frerichs. Billy Beckham standing in the leadoff circle, waiting his turn, as it'll be Frerichs, Beckham, and Odell here in the top of the third for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Foul back and over into the parking lot on the other side. I think we both parked far enough away. I checked, and I think I'm in a different zip code, so that should be safe.
Should have to at least bounce a few times before it gets there.
And there's some grass there. I hope that'll deaden it, too. Outside, just off the corner, and the count goes full on the leadoff hitter, Jacob Frerichs. Well, last inning, Nick Yates started things off with a leadoff walk. Will he do the same thing here to the number nine hitter, Jacob Frerichs? Not on this pitch, as it jammed him on the inside corner. And he
tell you what, he's going to run his pitch count up by himself.
Fouled that one off, did Frerichs.
That must be a ninth pitch, just to this batter.
Shakes off his catcher. Now gets the pitch he wants to throw on 3-2. And it's a right pitch for him as he throws the fastball by Frerichs. Out number one, strikeout number two for Yates on the day. So with nobody on and one out, that'll send us back to the top of the order and Billy Beckham. Beckham, who flied out to, was that center field first time, right? Called strike one. Yeah, that was Marcus Carl that made that catch, I believe.
It's a good play.
I put F9. I believe it should have been F8.
Yeah, it was center field, and, well, actually it was kind of in between. time he caught it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had to run into right center. This ball is low and away, and the count goes even 1-1. In any event, Marcus Carr with a good play on the first batter of the day. Beckham comes back up for the second time. You watch the breaking ball go outside. Sometimes I think these high school pitchers fall in love with their breaking ball a little bit too much. And if you don't throw it for strikes, it can really wear that arm down. So he comes back with a fastball, and it's bounced to the third base coach.
Yeah, like, both girls last night in our game really just use that changeup now and then, usually for trying to get the strikeout.
More then than now. As you said, it was an effective pitch when they went to it. Now a ground ball to the shortstop, takes a big hop, rolls up his arm, but he makes the grab. Over to first it goes as Devin Ray stayed with that one, made a good play for the second out of the third inning. That's not an easy play when that kind of slides out of your glove and wants to roll up your arm.
Takes your timing a little off, obviously.
Ray stayed with it, made a good, accurate throw over to Cy Cox at first base to retire Billy Beckham for the second out of the inning. Now a line drive to the left field. Austin Tallman comes charging in. And just like that, all of a sudden, Mr. Yates decides to get conservative with his pitches. Gets a ground out and a fly out. So it ends up being a 1-2-3 inning for the Purple Panthers here in the top of the third. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. The Purple Panthers have stranded 2-3 and trail 1-0 as we go to the bottom of the third. You're listening to WSMI.
Thank you.
Tom Williams is going to spin the dials tonight back at the station, you think?
As far as I know.
Yep, he's our man. Of course, he did the duty for us last night, did an outstanding job. As I stopped in on the way home, he said, don't tell me the score. He said, I'd like to be interested in finding out what the score is when they make the score. I said, that's okay. I probably forgot the score anyway. Not really. It was an excellent ball game yesterday in Hillsboro. Softball contest that took 8 innings before the Toppers were able to defeat the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers. Hats off to the Lady Cavaliers for an outstanding season in softball and baseball as well.
Yeah, it was, like I say earlier in that game, you're going to feel sorry for which team lost, and especially the pitcher, because they both pitched well enough to win a ball game.
Amen to that. For the Staunton Bulldogs, it'll be the freshman first baseman, Cy Cox, leading off. As he'll take a ball and now a second ball in the dirt. 2-0 on Cox, freshman first baseman. Outstanding young athlete, going to have a real good career at Staunton, I do believe. He was a strikeout victim in the first. He's going to send this one a little soft nubber over the pitcher's head. Shortstop's going to come in, make a throw. First baseman can't make the catch. He was off the bag anyway.
I believe you have the infield hit there.
I believe that's got to be called a single, and that's what you call a hustle single. As Cy Cox, as soon as he made contact, he was off and running, was going to take a perfect play on both ends in order to get him. He didn't quite get that. The Bulldogs have their second hit of the ball game, a leadoff single for Cy Cox, and that'll bring up Nick Yates, who had an RBI single back in the first. Let's see if he can move this runner along here in the third. Takes the first pitch up and away. Yates didn't exactly scald that ball, shall we say, in the first inning, but got the job done, got the RBI, got him the lead. He'll stand in from the stretch. Kulik, bring it. It's popped up on the right side. Going to be a long run for the right fielder, and he's going to run out of time as Frerichs gave it what they used to call it, the good old college try.
Yes, he did.
He was busting it all the way, but it was just too much ground to cover, and the ball wasn't hit high enough. He'll jog back to center field, take a couple of deep breaths, and be ready to go again, I'm sure. That will even up the count at 1-1 on Yates. Kulik tries to pick the runner off at first. Cox is back safely as Stockamp applies the tag. Stockamp, a left-hand first baseman. And again, he goes to make the tag. Back safely is the runner, Cy Cox. A little bit worried with the count 1-1 that Cox may be wanting to get down in scoring position. So Kulik trying to hold him close. To the stretch, to the plate. This one comes in high. Well, one thing's for sure, if Cox decides to go to second base, he's going to be carrying a little bit more weight than before because he's got a couple pounds of dirt and dust on the front of that uniform now. He'll take each lead. Two balls, one strike on Yates to the plate. Swings right through it, throw down to second base. It's there. And the umpire called him out, but the ball slid out of the glove of the shortstop, and I'm not sure the plate umpire realized, or the base umpire realized, that that ball was kicked out of his glove. Now there's going to be a little bit of discussion. Is he going to ask for help from the home plate umpire, who was a lot further away? He's going to ask now, are you going to go get help from the home plate umpire? I believe Barry Wright says, you know what? I'll confer and see what you've got. It's a possibility. This is a sign of a veteran umpire to seek advice. What did you see? So once he tells him, then he can make his decision. And he said, I didn't see it go away. They're going to maintain that he was out. And I guess they're going to say, how'd that go? 2-6? I think they're going to say that the ball was kicked out of the glove after the tag and the play was over. That's my thinking. Now, the first base coach and the umpire are having a bit of a discussion. In any event, when the dust settles, there'll be one out.
There's an out. Well, yeah. We see the ball get loose. Now, there's two schools of thought. So he's already made the tag, and if you reach in and you pull the ball out and drop it, it's still an out.
Now, the shortstop can't come up with this one, as it was an in-between hop. He tried to charge in it and went right under his glove. He clipped it just enough, but he couldn't make the grab.
And since we can't call New York and get the instant replay,
I got to
go with the best judgment of the umpires.
What'd they give him?
I got to give an error there.
I'm going to give him an E6.
That one.
It wasn't one that was hard to get to. It was simply the one that got under his glove. I call that a lack of concentration. So now we're back to where we were a few moments ago with a runner at first base. This time, however, it's Nick Yates. And the difference is now there's one out. The similarity is Yates dives back in on the throw to first, so he's got his uniform full of dust, just as Cox did. Kulik to the belt, to the plate, high pitch. Catcher has trouble getting that one out of his hands. This time the call is going to be safe on the stolen base. And that one was a close one, just like the other one. So I guess you'd say each team got one call, so everybody ought to be happy, or everybody ought to be mad, but everybody ought to feel the same.
Yep.
In any event, Yates is down there at second base now with one out. And the pitch is outside. Not sure what that first pitch was. That first pitch was a ball also, wasn't it?
Two-0 count.
That's what I thought it was. 2-0 count on Austin Tallman. Tallman slices this one off to the right side foul. Of course, Tallman, a Staunton name, and Tallman is also a famous name in Gillespie athletics in the past as well. This is Austin, the senior left fielder, looking to see if he can drive home the second run of the game as Yates is perched out there at second base. Takes a strike at the knees, and the count goes to 2-2. So it's two balls and two strikes here in the bottom of the third. We've got one on and one out with a runner down at second base. Cy Cox was caught stealing at second base for the first out of the inning. And now Kulik will bring it. And it'll be a swing and a miss by Tallman for the second out of the inning. That is strikeout number 4 on the game.
the right fielder, number 22, Griffin Bianco.
For Reese Kulik, Austin Tillman strikes out for the second time today, and that'll bring up Griffin Bianco to see if he can drive home this run from second base. Bianco takes a called strike on the outside corner. Bianco grounded to second, but the first it was touched by the pitcher. This one goes through the wickets of the catcher and back to the backstop. So on a wild pitch, Yates is going to move on to third base. So he's sitting down there 90 feet away. And the count will go to 1-1 on Griffin Bianco. So Bianco, any kind of hit here could get that run home. He gets another call on that outside corner. I'll say one thing about this umpire, he's been consistent on that outside corner. So that's what most players will tell you. As long as they're consistent, we'll be all right. That one, though, was a little bit too far outside. And the count goes to 2 balls, 2 strikes. 2 outs here in the bottom of the third, 1-0, Staunton with a lead. With a potential second run, Ports down there at third base. Swing and a miss. So Cullick comes back to get 2 strikeouts in the inning. And the Staunton Bulldogs get 1 hit. They had 1 man left on base. They didn't score any runs, so we move on to the 4th inning. And it is Staunton 1, Litchfield 0. You're listening to WSMI. Springtime, WSMI, baseball, softball. They all go together, don't they?
And a little rain shower now and then. Not tonight. Not today.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know we probably had several farmers who were thankful to get that rain yesterday, although some of them would have said we'd like for it to have been one that lasts about 10 or 12 hours, come a little more gently so it could soak in. But we had quite a downpour there at Hillsboro for a little while, and as we said, come back through Gillespie here, and they got just a few drops, and that was about it.
Leading off the top of the 4th inning for the Purple Panthers.
So to
number 10,
Knight will now go to the 4th inning. Tom Williams, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Carl DeBar. For the Purple Panthers of Litchfield, they'll send the 3, 4, and 5 hitters to the plate here in the top of the 4th. Andrew Dela Cruz, Ty Dobernick, and Chase Lauderdale to see if they can get the Purple Panthers on the board. Ball 1 comes in low to Dela Cruz. Both pitchers got to be getting up on their pitch count here this afternoon. A lot of pitches have been thrown. A lot of counts have gone deep. This one goes into right center field. It's going to be a long run for the center fielder. He won't get to this one as Marcus Carl is going to chase this one down right at the warning track. And it's going to be a leadoff triple. Comes sliding into third is Andrew Dela Cruz. He put a charge into that one, and he didn't stop until he slid safely into third base with a leadoff triple. So the Purple Panthers get their first hit of the day, and it's a big extra base hit by Andrew Dela Cruz.
Well, that puts the pressure square on Nick Yates trying to figure out a way to get out of this one.
Ty Dobernick, who walked his last time, takes a ball high. Infield for the Bulldogs has come in on the edge of the grass. As we mentioned earlier, the Bulldogs left the bases loaded 1 inning. They've had their opportunity. It's going to be a sharp fly ball to right field. Bianco gets under it. He'll make the catch. He'll fire in. They hit the cutoff man, and the runner's going to go back to third.
Well, there's one.
Now, Bianco did an outstanding job of fighting off that sun, and he got behind the ball in that he was able to come towards home plate as he made the catch. Made a good, strong throw to the cutoff man, and I believe the Purple Panthers made a wise decision not sending the runner. That'll bring up Chase Lauderdale. Lauderdale is a quick grounder to the shortstop. He'll stop it with his chest and then fire the ball over to first. Looked like Pepper Martin playing there. Don't worry about the glove. I'll just use my chest to stop the ball, as Devin Ray does a good job there of gobbling that up, keeping it in front of him, keeping the runner at third. And now with 2 outs, it's going to be all left up to Reese Kulik. Kulik of The man on the mound today flied out to right his last time up. Takes a strike on the outside corner. Now, that's one of those, even if he didn't think it was a strike, he can't complain because he's getting the same call on the mound. So,
I mean, the pitcher, you can't complain. You like that outside corner.
We'll see if he goes after this one on the outside corner. Change up, one hopper to the third baseman. He comes up, fires over, low throw to first. Good dig out of the ground there by Cy Cox as he scooped that one on a difficult short hop, and it goes 5-3. So the leadoff triple for the Purple Panthers is wasted as they get a fly ball to right field, a ground ball to the shortstop, and a ground ball to third. 1-2-3 after the leadoff triple. Purple Panthers have one hit. They have no runs. They have one left on base. They have now stranded three runners and trail 1-0 as we move on to the bottom of the fourth. Exciting action coming your way on WSMI.
Wilson Sporting Goods.
WSMI high school baseball coming your way. And tell you what, Carl, that was a peculiar inning. It was almost as though the pitcher got a wake-up call.
He must have got a wake-up call. His most efficient inning happens after he gives up a quick triple to lead off the inning, and then he gets through the inning with only throwing a total of six pitches.
And thank his defensive infield behind him. A couple of really good plays there, one by the shortstop, one, of course, by the first baseman scooping that out of the dirt. And as a result, the Purple Panthers are denied what looked like an excellent scoring opportunity. They cannot put one across, and it's still 1-0 as we go now to the bottom of the fourth. 7, 8, and 9 hitters due up for the Bulldogs. Devin Ray stands in. He takes the first one as a ball and then fouls the second one off to even the count at 1-1. Devin Ray flied out to center field his first time up back in the second inning. Leads off here in the bottom of the fourth. Drives this one over the second baseman's head. He wanted to leap for it, and then he realized, I can't jump that high. He let
and
that
didn't
one,
have time by then
no,
either.
Let that one sail over his head, and it's a leadoff single for Devin Ray.
Bulldog, third baseman, number six,
that Zach for the Bulldogs is only their third base hit of the game. It comes here in the bottom of the fourth with a number seven hitter, Devin Ray, a leadoff single up the middle.
And Reese Kulik, he's got the five strikeouts, but he's walked four batters. You know, he's batted a lot of 3-2 counts in this game.
Now the Bulldogs are going to try to bunt the runner over. Zach Urey fouls that one back, and it's 0-1.
In fact, for Reese, that was the 70th pitch already of this ballgame.
And we're only in the bottom of the fourth. Zach Urey walked his first time, reached second on a pass ball, was left stranded there he was left stranded at third as the Bulldogs loaded the bases with three walks after two were out and could not play to run.
And both teams had some opportunities. Litchfield, obviously, with that leadoff triple, nobody out, has one of the biggest with no runs being scored.
And the bad part about that, not only do you not score the run, but that really sends momentum over to the other dugout, knowing
it
that they got
indeed
out of that inning. Zach Urey, the freshman third baseman, with an 0-2 count. Runner on first. He slices that one into the netting over here on the right side, and the count remains 0-2. Getting good hacks, but Kulik put a little bit of steam on that ball and getting it past them, they can't catch up with it, seems like. Urey, big number six on the back of his jersey. He waits for the delivery and a little slow roller to short. Comes in between hop, eats up the shortstop, Tanner Odell. So the error on the shortstop is going to put runners on first and second. That's the second error of the game on Odell. Puts runners at first and second for Cullen McBride. We're going to have a bit of a meeting on the mound now, as all of the infielders will come in and have a discussion. Runners are on first and second. As we said, the Purple Panthers missed a golden opportunity last inning, and now they put themselves in a precarious situation with runners on first and second and nobody out. I think right now
And you got to see how Reese is doing. He's pushing that 70, 75 pitch mark. And that's about when most pitchers tire out in the high school level.
Well, the thing of it is you'd like to get to a half inning, so if you have a reliever coming in, you could let him warm up over on the sideline a little bit.
Yeah, we've seen the results of bringing pitchers in with men on base sometimes cold off the field. Doesn't always work out well.
The flag is blowing basically from left to right there. Nice breeze. As big number 7, Cullen McBride, stands in. Kulik from the stretch to the plate. How that bunt attempt was fouled off, and I think it may have bit the catcher a little bit. He'll flex his hand and come back. Umpire's going to give him a second as he dusts off the plate, checks him out, and says, "You okay? Ready to go?" The answer is affirmative, sir. And McBride will stand back in. He'll point that bat out towards center. Now he'll put it back on his shoulder and get ready for the 0-1 offering. Will he bunt again? No, he'll call time. As the pitcher took a little bit too long, at first base, Stockamp is coming in on the grass. At third base, Dobernik is behind third base. The bunt? Nope, he'll pull back from ball two. Ball one. That's 1-1 on McBride. Now McBride is going to get a little bit of instruction here. He's going to go down and talk to Coach McBrain. Kyle says, if you're going to bunt it fair. Make it a good one. Now he encourages his base runners to stay alive. As there's runners on first and second, there will be a possible force at third. So if you're bunting, you'd kind of like to make that third baseman have to come in and make the play. That would vacate that bag and get that runner in safely at third. We shall see. Here's the bunt. Pitcher's able to field it, but he's not going to have a play except at first. And he's going to be safe at first as the first baseman, Stockamp, couldn't get quite back to the bag. He tried a sweeping tag and could not make connections, and so the Bulldogs had the bases loaded once before. That was back in the second inning. They have the bases loaded here as the sacrifice hit will go for McBride, and that will load the bases. So that'll go down as base hit number 4.
Yeah, pretty good bunt. I mean, it was going to get the sacrifice down, but all the players in motion, they had to be in motion to make it the play. And when you do that, a lot of times that sweep tag, you're going to miss them.
Well, Stockamp, the problem there is as he was charging to the plate, it was hard to stop, change directions, and get back to the bag in time to get there before the fleet-footed McBride got there. Now a ball outside to the leadoff hitter, Marcus Carl. Carl has had 2 walks on the day, so he's showing a pretty good eye here. A walk here could bring in a run. He's not going to take a walk. The drawn-in infield makes his little short grounder an RBI single as it barely got to the grass. The left fielder came in and had trouble picking it up. It went under his glove, but everybody goes up one base, and the bases are still loaded. Second run of the game is in on an RBI single off the bat of Marcus Carl.
And that's probably a case where the infield in cost him. That's probably caught.
Yes. Oh, yeah, regular position. I don't think there's any doubt about it. That would have been caught. But the Bulldogs roll the dice. The Purple Panthers roll the dice. Now it's going to be a fly ball into right field. Frerich's got a bead on it, but he's moving over towards the line as he catches it. So a run's going to come in, and everybody's going to advance 90 feet as Ryan Best is going to get a good sacrifice fly and an RBI. That will be the first out of the inning, but that's a quality out as he picks
big
up
quality.
The run.
Not only does he get the runner home, he gets him the others to second and third. The ball, like you say, was hit pretty deep, too, so there's no doubt the runner was going to score, but he also was going away from all the players, so long throw back.
Frerichs really didn't have a chance on that one.
No, he had no chance to go
anywhere.
He was
running into the right field corner deep, going back, and he did all he could do with it, getting it back in, but the run scores, and 2 in the inning makes it 3-0 here in the bottom of the 4th for Staunton. And as you said, the runners, other runners both advanced, so the runners are now in second at second and third. 2 runners in. McBride is perched down at third base. Marcus Carl is at second base. Cy Cox stands in from the left side. He got a single last time. This one's a little bit outside, and the count goes to 2-1. Cox, a strikeout victim in the first inning, picked up a single in the third. He bats here with an opportunity to drive in a couple more runs. From the left side, Cy Cox. Little slow roller to first base. As soon as Stockcamp went and headed back towards first base to get the out, the runner at third says, I'm going to score, and he did without a play. And that was Cullen McBride. Good heads-up play there. Waiting until he saw the first baseman turn, and once he headed back to first, he said, I can make it home.
Sure, he got a little coaching down there, and that's always a good thing there at the third base box, coach.
So the ground out by Cox gets another run in, give him the RBI, give the Bulldogs a 4-0 lead here in the fourth. Ow, ow, ooh.
And that'll be a hit, batsman.
Yates could not quite get out of the way of that one. I wasn't sure if it was going to catch him hard on the shin bone. It looked like it didn't hit him too hard as he kind of looked back at the umpire and said, I'm okay. And he'll take his position at first base. So that's three times in a row today that Nick Yates has been on. And an RBI single back in the first. Error on the shortstop. He reached safely in the third and now being hit by a pitch with two outs here in the fourth. And that'll put runners on the corners for the left fielder Austin Tallman. Tallman is going to take a pitch high. Defense indifference. They're going to allow Yates to go down to second base. Tallman, who has struck out twice, an opportunity to blow this one wide open. The Bulldogs already have a 4-0 lead, but two more in the inning would be a big help for SHS. Swing and a miss. Evens the count at 1-1. You could tell Kulik was bringing a little bit extra on that one. A little upset that he's given up three runs in the inning and doesn't want to give up any more. This could very well be his last inning of work with his pitch count.
Yep, he's getting up there.
A little bit outside. And the count goes to 2-1 with runners on second and third. Three runs already in here in the bottom of the fourth for the Staunton Bulldogs. They lead 4-0. Looking for some more. High and away. And the count goes to 3-1. And this is one of those situations where Kulik really doesn't have to give in to the batter with first base open.
Well, Kulik, 86 pitches on the day already. Here in this fourth inning, that's a lot of pitches.
Only in the fourth, yes. Little slow roller to second. Second baseman comes up with it. Quick throw over to first, and Tallman is retired for the third out of the inning. But a big inning indeed it was for the Staunton Bulldogs as they picked up three hits. They also picked up three runs. They stranded two and have now stranded seven runners on the day. But more importantly, they plated four and take a 4-0 lead into the fifth inning here at Gillespie High School. You're listening to IHSA Baseball Regional Play on WSMI. FM 106, IHSA High School Baseball. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Lots of sunshine, a little bit of a breeze. No threatening weather on the horizon in any direction. It just doesn't get much better than this.
Gotta love this weather. Of course, you know, we started yesterday in pretty good weather, but it was changing quickly as the game went on.
Well, I remember I said something, then I said knock on wood, and it knock on wood didn't count. But in any event, now the Litchfield Purple Panthers have the work cut out for them as we move on to the top of the fifth inning. First pitch swinging by Jergina, and it falls on the ground over by the fence down the first base line for strike one.
Well, if we had a flash playing one of these fields, I mean, they got about 50 feet down there. What is that, about the fourth or fifth time the ball's dropped in no man's land out there?
This is one of the biggest fields as far as foul ball territory. There's a lot of foul territory between the line and the fences here. Jergina stands back in. He walked in the second. Bats here leading off in the fifth. Takes a called strike on the outside corner. And the count goes to 0-2. We're batting here in the top of the fifth. The Purple Panthers have been shut out through four innings. The Bulldogs picked up a single run in the first and three more in the fourth, and they have a 4-0 lead as Jergina looks at ball one, and the count goes to 1-2. Nick Yates still on the mound for the Bulldogs. brings this one in. Second base picks up a short hop, fires it over to first, and it's out number one as Ryan Best fielding his position well. Fired over to Cy Cox, and that's the way we start inning number five for the Purple Panthers.
So Nick Yates, two strikeouts, two walks. He is at 59 pitches. His next pitch will be his 60th. So not a great pitch count, but not terrible at this point.
Well, when you look at his last four batters, he's been doing a lot better. Now Brady Bishop, the sophomore designated hitter, is going to stand in, and he'd like to make him throw a few more pitches, not just to get him up on the pitch count, but perhaps to get somebody else onto the mound for the Bulldogs, as the Purple Panthers are having trouble solving this guy. Bishop with a little slow roller to second base. Once again, second baseman Bates comes up, fires out, and there's 2-4-3 plays for two outs here in the top of the fifth. Number nine hitter, Jacob Frerichs. 7-8-9, we were talking about yesterday how both teams had their 7-8-9 hitters come through, but for the Purple Panthers today, they have one walk, and that's the only base runner in their 7-8-9 hitters on the day. We'll see if Frerichs, the freshman right fielder, can do something about that. It's called a ball, and Frerichs thought it hit him. Now they're he's going to tell him to come back. Frerichs says, hey, that hurt. Usually when something hurts, you know you got hit. The umpire says, I didn't see it that way. Frerichs says, well, I better take my stick and go back into the batter's box. Now the right fielder are going to have to do some shoe tying out there, so they'll take time.
Well, hit or not, you can't argue the attempt to get to first base once the ball's in the dirt by your feet.
In the old days, they used to show the scuff on the polish of the shoes.
That's might not be able to do that.
Not a factor nowadays. Back to live action. It'll be ball two, as this one is away. And so Frerichs, who was a strikeout victim leading off the third inning, bats here with two outs in the top of the fifth, see if he can get something started for the Purple Panthers. He'll look at a strike right down the middle, and the count will go to 2-1. Top of the fifth, 4-0 Staunton. Winner moves on to Saturday's championship game, where they'll take on either Hillsboro at Gillespie at 11 o'clock. One hopper to the second baseman. And there you have the old 4-3, 4-3, 4-3. Three plays, all to the second baseman, and he is sparkling in his effort. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. The Purple Panthers have stranded only three runners through five. They have but one hit, and they trail the Staunton Bulldogs 4-0 as we go to the bottom of the fifth. You're listening to WSMI. Tom Williams, our producer, back at the studio. I'm Gary Volker, Carl DeBar. As we head to the bottom of the fifth, Staunton with a 4-0 lead. The only guy who didn't get a bat last inning gets to lead off here. This game going to be coming your way a little bit later this evening, but we just received some pretty good news for a local team, I guess you'd say, as Gillespie's Lady Miners were victorious in their semifinal action, so they will take on Hillsboro Saturday in the regional championship of the Hillsboro softball tournament.
Devin Ray.
And as we speak, ground ball to second baseman Andrew De La Cruz as Bianco is retired for the first out here in the fifth inning. A lot of activity out there at second base here for the last three or four hitters. Devin Ray takes a called strike. Ray on the day, flied out to center, singled and scored. So he's one for two. Fly ball, foul, goes out of play. Stockamp chasing it, but he runs out of real estate. And the count goes to 0-2. So Gillespie and Hillsboro in the girls' regional championship. Seems like that's happened a few times before in the history of mankind.
It has indeed. Well, last year, that one really got away. Backstop. Last year, they met in the sectional because they both won regionals, which, you know, we've seen both teams and both are qualified to be quality regional winners. Unfortunately, only one of them this time can win.
We always kind of like that, though, when they split up the South Central teams so that we have more representatives make it to the sectional level, because we feel we have some very deserving teams in the conference, and two of them going to be battling at Hillsboro Saturday morning. Perhaps we shall have two more here. Could be Staunton, could be Litchfield, could be Hillsboro, could be Gillespie, but definitely going to be South Central matchup. Swing and a miss for the second out of the inning. That's strikeout number six on the game for Reese Kulik. And that's going to bring up Zach Urey. Red jersey, big number six on the back of the uniform. Historically, who does that bring to mind? The man.
The man, Stan.
The man.
I hate bringing up things like this, but has Reese had an inning? A 1-2-3 the entire game? Because it doesn't seem like hardly any of the pitchers today have.
Okay, Reese, if you don't get a 1-2-3 inning, blame it on Carl. That's all I can tell you. Let's put it this way. He's due for a 1-2-3 inning, and it's not going to happen, as Carl jinxed him, and Urey comes up with a solid single to center. I'm going to mark that down as an E-A, error on the announcer.
Yeah. And it would have been an efficient inning, too, wouldn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Well, I was bringing that up mainly because he's pushing 90 pitches now, and he's looking as sharp as he did, maybe sharper than he has most of the game.
It's hard to believe that he's gone through as many pitches and, as you said, has settled in. That'll bring up Cullen McBride, the sophomore catcher. He walked and was stranded at second back in the second inning. Then he singled and scored in the fourth inning, that big three-run fourth for the Bulldogs. He'll stand in and foul the first one back, as with two outs, Zach Urey, with a single to center, is perched down there at first base. He and Stockamp seem to be exchanging pleasantries there. Both of them saying, "I don't like looking into this setting sun. Do you?" "No, I don't, but I'm heading second, so I don't have to." We shall see. Does he go? No. Ball outside, evens account at 1-1. We're playing here in the bottom of the fifth at Gillespie High School. Staunton with a 4-0 lead over Litchfield in the Class 2A Boys Regional Tournament. Next pick. Oh, got a chance. He got back in safely. Good quick throw by Jurgena. Stockamp applied the tag, but just a little bit late, as Urey was back in safely. Pitch was a called strike, so the count goes to 1-2. Will Urey be going off on this one? 1-2 pitch is on its way. Little bit low. McBride thought about going after it, and he realized he had a bat in his hand, not a golf club, so he better lay off that one. He stands in, steadies himself. Kulik to the belt, to the plate, foul ball. Count stays at 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, two out. Runner on at first for the Staunton Bulldogs, the number one seeded team, 21-4 on the season, and I got to mention one more time, South Central Conference champions, undefeated going through the SCC. Hats off to the Bulldogs. Line drive into left, and the Bulldogs are put together a two-out rally here as the bottom of the order has come through with consecutive singles, first by Urey and now by McBride. Puts runners on first and second with two out. Looks like we're going to have a
courtesy runner,
and that'll be Cody Castaldi. Castaldi will be there, and I believe that that will be the end of the day for Kulik, as he's going to sit down with 4 2/3 innings. And who we got going to come in here? It's going to be Tallman? No, I'm not sure. Not Tallman.
Dela Cruz. Andrew will come in from second.
Dela Cruz. Andrew Dela Cruz. Andrew Dela Cruz will come in to take over for Kulik.
It helps if you look for our roster. It's number 10, Andrew Dela Cruz. My apologies.
So it's just going to be a switch between pitcher and second base, as Kulik is going to go out to second base.
Now playing second base, we number 18, Reese Kulik.
So they will switch spots, and De La Cruz will come in, and he will inherit a two-on, two-out situation. So those two runners on the bases still belong to Kulik, who pitches 4 2/3 innings. During that stretch, he gave up 6 hits. He's given up so far 4 runs, responsible for the other two. Came up with 6 strikeouts. And what do you have? A couple of walks?
4.
4 walks and 1 hit batsman.
4 walks, 1 hit batsman, and unofficially 100 pitches.
Wow.
In that 4 2/3. So he, as sharp as he looked at the beginning of the inning, I think it just finally caught up with him.
Well, you know what I think. I think the old announcer put a hex on him.
Yeah. I think that might be it, too.
We'll take responsibility. He had a very tough outing. I tell you what, he was really a battler from the get-go throughout. And just ran out of gas in that one inning. So now it is De La Cruz coming in. And he'll start it off with a breaking ball that's out of the strike zone. So it'll be 1-0. Is now a little fly ball out into center field. Center field is going to drift over and make the catch. And just like that, Marcus Call is going to be out. So De La Cruz comes in and puts out the fire here in the bottom of the fifth. But in the inning, the Staunton Bulldogs come up with a couple of hits. They don't score a run. They leave 2 stranded. They have now stranded 9 in the game. But as we move to the top of the sixth, it is the Staunton Bulldogs enjoying a 4-0 lead over the Litchfield Purple Panthers. We'll be back after these messages on WSMI. We move to the top of the sixth. You're listening to WSMI FM 106. We have high school baseball coming your way. And, of course, today it is Staunton and Litchfield doing battle. Tomorrow we're going to come back here tomorrow, and it'll be Hillsboro and Gillespie doing battle. The winner of this game will play the winner of that game Saturday morning for the Gillespie Regional Championship. Should be an exciting finish to the week, Carl.
Should be indeed. And, of course, we'll be right back here tomorrow. The Hilltoppers and the Gillespie Miners playing out.
That should be a good one as Billy Beckham stands in. The leadoff hitter takes a called strike to start things off here in the sixth inning. Beckham swings and misses at strike 2. He has flied to center field and grounded to the shortstop in his 2 at-bats. You know you've been fairly efficient if you're into the sixth inning and they're only starting their 3rd trip through the batting order.
Yeah, and he's gotten the pitch count down. He's at 68 right now, and that's in the sixth inning. So the last couple innings have really helped him out.
A 1-2 count on Billy Beckham bounces up. It's a 2-2 count. Cullen McBride says, I think I caught that one with my body. I'd rather use my mitt. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Billy Beckham. He'll launch this one into right center field. Right fielder had him shaded over towards the line. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Beckham is rounding second. He's going to head to third. There will be no play at third base. For the second time today, the Litchfield Purple Panthers have put their leadoff hitter on with a leadoff triple. Last time they didn't do anything about it. This time, let's see if they can get some different results.
Well, you know they got to get this run home by any way, ways and means.
Ground ball. Third baseman picks it up. He's going to fire across the diamond and get the out and concede the run. So Zach Urey goes back behind third, picks up the ball, fires over to first for the first out. But it's an RBI ground out for Odell. And the Purple Panthers are on the board. Just about to say, how many times have you seen a team have only 2 hits going into the sixth inning and both of them triples?
Not normal. Triples, period. Let's face it. They don't have too many triples in any ball game.
That triple paid off as it got the Purple Panthers on the board. And now Andrew De La Cruz is going to see if he can restart the rally, perhaps. He took a strike, and now he'll take a ball outside, and the count will even up with nobody on. 1 out, 1 in here in the top of the sixth. 4-1 is the Staunton lead. Now that one back. Ooh, that didn't have a chance to make it to the car. Okay. Not enough trajectory on that one. So the count goes to 1-2 on Andrew De La Cruz, grounded to second his first time. had a leadoff triple, as we said, his next time up. He'll look at the pitch way outside, and it goes to 2-2 does the count. As Nick Yates laboring out there on the mound into the sixth inning. He brings it, and a shot over the first baseman's head into the right field. Bianca will gather it in, fire it back into the infield. And the Purple Panthers, I think, are starting to time it with Yates as they picked up two hits in the last three batters. That will be their third hit of the day. That will be their first non-triple hit. And I think it's probably going to be it for Nick Yates.
Looks to be. As they're giving a little clap and quick handshakes.
So Yates will go 5 1/3 innings. He's given up three hits. He's given up one run so far. He's responsible for the runner down at first base. He had but two strikeouts. As far as walks, he gave up 2 1 inning, and I believe that was it, right?
Two walks? I got him for the two strikeouts, two walks. But
okay.
He found a way to get out at first triple, the inning before. Let's see. We're going to give him a total. We got coming in to pitch.
Is that going to be McBride?
Cullen McBride.
So they're going to put him out on the mound now.
So
catching. It's not an easy thing to do, squat behind the plate for nearly five innings. And now they say, okay, now go out there and step up on the mound. Let's see what you got. You got to remember, most every pitch that the pitcher pitches, the catcher has to throw back. We're in the sixth. McBride will take over the pitching duties.
The new pitcher for the Staunton Bulldogs is number 7, Cullen McBride.
He's going to bring Blaine Blemker, is he coming in to catch?
Well, he's got the uniform on, so I'm going to say yes. He's not just warming him up with a mask.
Third baseman for the Bulldogs is now number 11, Nick Yates. And the new catcher for the Bulldogs is number 2, Blaine Blemker.
So Yates is going to take over at third. And Blaine, what'd you say?
Blemker.
We'll come in to catch here in the sixth. Bumker. The new pitcher coming in, Cullen McBride. He enters the game with a runner on first and one out. And McBride starts things off with a strike on the outside corner.
Now, one thing he should have is a good feeling for the strike zone, being the catcher all this game.
And a loose arm. He should already be loosened up as he's throwing all those pitches back. Ooh, this one comes right in under. Oh, throw down to second. Not in time. Looked like that on the play, De La Cruz got a little bit of a late break, but the throw comes in, and the shortstop can't handle it. So he'll be safe with a stolen base.
And Litchfield taking advantage of catcher just coming into the game.
Trying to get things straight about the batter. Now, line drive down the right field corner. It's going to go fair, and the right fielder is going to come over and pick it up. It'll be an RBI single for Dobrynik as he drives in De La Cruz with the second run of the inning, and that one will be charged to Yates. So Yates is going to be responsible for two runs in the game.
The left fielder, number 99, Chase
Lauderdale. And an RBI single for Dobrynik is the fourth hit of the game for the Purple Panthers. Not only is it the fourth hit of the game, but it's the third hit of the inning. So they've got something going, do the Purple Panthers. They've cut into that 4-0 lead. It's now 4-2. And with a runner on first, Ty Dobrynik, Chase Lauderdale, the left fielder, stands into the plate representing the tying run. He'll swing and miss and do it again, and the count goes to 0-2. You can pretty much see Chase is wanting to get in on the action here. Little bit of a breeze still blowing from left to right as Lauderdale looks at that one way high, and the count goes to 1-2. 1-2 on number 99, Chase Lauderdale. What hockey great wore 99? Gretzky. Oh, called strike three as he looked at that one, thought it was a little bit high. But McBride and the Bulldogs get the call for the second out of the inning. That's the third K of the day for the Purple Panthers. First strikeout, of course, for Cullen McBride. Reese Kulik stands in now. With one swing of the bat, he could take himself off the hook as far as pitcher of record. Trailing 4-2, he represents the tying run. Swing and a miss, and the count evens at 1-1.
That's the fun thing about the baseball. 4-0 lead looked humongous going into this inning, but now it's been cut in half already, and now the tying run's even at plate.
One swing away from making it a new day. Oh, good breaking ball there. As Kulik gave up on it, and I'll have to admit I gave up on it too. I thought it was going to break low, but it stayed in the strike zone, and now he's got to protect with a 1-2 count. Two outs here in the top of the sixth. Swing and a miss. McBride comes in and gets the job done. So the relief corps has been pretty good for both teams as McBride comes in and gets two Ks to end the sixth after the threat by the Purple Panthers. They were able to plate two runs. They did so on three hits, and they left one runner stranded. They have stranded four through the six innings, and they now trail 4-2 as we go to the bottom of the sixth. Staunton 4, Litchfield 2. You're listening to WSMI. FM 106. Gillespie High School, that's where we are. And it's IHSA Class 2A Baseball Regional. Staunton Bulldogs have seen their 4-0 lead cut down to 4-2 as the Litchfield Purple Panthers plated two in the top of the sixth. Now Andrew De La Cruz will head back out to the mound. He stopped things after two singles, after two outs in the sixth. He was brought into the game, coaxed to fly out. Now he'll face the 2, 3, and 4 hitters. First ball is lined down the left field line, and the umpire says foul ball.
That was close.
Well, to those wearing purple, they saw it foul all the way. To those wearing red, they saw it fair. Me, I didn't see it.
I just thought it was close.
It was close. Foul ball off the bat of the number two hitter, Ryan Best. It's an 0-1 count, as he says, let's try it again. And this one, no doubt about it, that's off the street,
to the parking
off
lot.
The sidewalk, and into the parking lot. Not the one where I park, though.
He made the adjustment, but it was the wrong direction.
Going to have to be a little bit more patient here.
I didn't see that. Lauderdale looks like he's gotten a lot closer to the line if you look over there.
Yeah. Coach says straighten those out. Well, he's going to have to watch this next one as it comes in high for a 1-2 count. As you said, Lauderdale's going to hug that left field line a little bit more closely.
Yeah, he definitely moved over a little.
Center fielder has him up. Swing and a miss. Catcher with a good pickup.
See, that's a seventh overall. I think second for De La Cruz, is that correct?
No, I had De La Cruz just came in and got fly ball for the third out last inning.
So seventh still overall, but his
first. Seven Ks on the day. That'll bring in the left-hand hitting Cy Cox, who looks at ball one outside. So the Bulldogs have struck out quite a bit today, seven times, but they've also picked up enough hits. I am down for seven hits as well to plate four runs.
Well, put in those four walks and the one-hit batsman. That added some extra base runners, obviously.
And the count goes to 2-1 on Cox. This one's high. They get it 3-1. Got to get over in the right inning here on the score sheet. Cox, a strikeout victim in the first inning, had a single to lead off the third and grounded to the first baseman back in the fourth. Bats here in the sixth as the count goes to 3-1. Cox stands in. De La Cruz brings it off the outside corner. And Cox is on for the second time today. He'll pick up the one-out walk.
Now back for the Bulldogs, the third baseman.
That's the fifth walk.
Nick Yates.
As the Staunton Bulldogs had three walks in one inning.
Well, we've seen the Bulldogs do a lot of running here, too, Gary, throughout this game. Let's see if we don't have a little running going on with this two-run lead. They can be a little more risky, risk-taking.
Yeah, they're not going to have to take much risk there. That one is going to go wild pitch back to the backstop. And Jurgen had that one go off his fingertips.
Yeah,
that didn't feel too good. Didn't sound good either, did it?
No, it did not sound good. Seemed all right, though.
For Nick Yates, he's looking at a 1-0 count. He singled back in the first, reached on an error in the third, was hit by a pitch in the fourth. So he's been on base every time today. And this time he's going to slice one foul down the right field line. Save your legs there, Jacob. Frericks gives chase but runs out of room. So the count goes to 1-1 as we play here in the bottom of the sixth, 4-2 Staunton over Litchfield. Bulldogs had a 4-0 lead until the last half inning when Litchfield plated two, got themselves right back in this one. Now a pitch low to Yates, and the count goes to 2-1. As we said, tomorrow night we'll be back here for Hillsboro and Gillespie to do battle in the other semifinal game. The winners will match up Saturday morning for the regional championship. Ground ball to third, up, over, and out as Dobrynek fires to Stockamp on the play. Cox is able to advance to third. He's there with two outs for Austin Tallman. Tallman, who was a strikeout victim in the first and the third, grounded out to second to end the fourth, and he'll bat here with two outs in the bottom of the sixth. And the runner waiting to score down at third is Cy Cox. A vicious line drive down the left field line, but once again they're getting out too far in front of De La Cruz and fouling that one off against the fence. We'll see how much further back in Lauderdale comes to play. He says that's about close enough. Center fielder has him shifted over
to
left center.
He's got him shifted too, so.
The right fielder's even moving over further, so they're giving the right field line if he'd happen to slice one down that way. But he'll look at a ball inside, will Austin Tallman, and the count will go to 1-1. Runner on third, two out. We're playing here in the bottom of the sixth. Staunton with a 4-2 lead over Litchfield, for those of you maybe just joining us. Another ball makes it 2-1. Number 10, Austin Tallman, senior left fielder. Let's see if he can pick up an RBI today. He tries to put it in the hole. Shortstop can't come up with it as it goes off of his glove. And in to score is Cy Cox. So on the E6, the Bulldogs get the run. One of the two runs they gave up in the top of the inning. They'll get it back, and that'll bring up Griffin Bianco. Bianco, who grounded back to the second baseman, struck out and then grounded to the second baseman again. He's 0-for-3 on the day. Number 22 stands at the plate. First one comes in a little bit low. Bianco steps out, gets a whole bunch of signals from Coach McBrain. Either that or Coach's ear was itching. In any event, he steps back in, swings and misses a nice, slow breaking ball, evens the count at 1-1. De La Cruz, since coming in, has kind of had the Bulldogs stymied, and that's what happens when you see a pitcher for the first time. You kind of have to figure him out a little bit. De La Cruz behind on the count here, 2-1. So he had a strikeout here in this inning, a walk, a ground out, and an error, has plated one more for the Bulldogs. They're up 5-2. Now a little chopper out in front of the plate. Pitcher catches it and throws him out. So De La Cruz does a good job of charging off the mound, picking up that ball and firing over to first for the third out. But in the inning, without the benefit of a hit, the Bulldogs are able to plate a run. They'll strand one. They've stranded 10 on the day. But we'll head to the seventh, and the Staunton Bulldogs have a 5-2 lead over the Litchfield Purple Panthers. IHSA regional play coming your way on WSMI. Tom Williams, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker. Carl DeBars alongside. It's been an exciting high school baseball game. Kind of what we expected from these two teams is they're playing it pretty close to the vest. They've had some pitchers that have been high on the pitch count, but they've come through when they had to. The favored team, you'd have to say, was the top-seeded Staunton Bulldogs, and they take a 5-2 lead into the seventh, where it'll be the 7, 8, and 9 hitters due up for the Purple Panthers. But we saw yesterday what the 7, 8, 9 hitters can do.
Hey, they can get the rally started and bring home the runs. Well, Staunton did pick up that key run, though, in that bottom of the sixth inning. So we'll see if that comes into play, too.
Yeah, it's always good when you give up a couple of runs to be able to come back and get back at least one of them. And it increases that lead back to 3 anyway, as they picked up a run to make it 5-2 now in the seventh. A called strike on Jergena. And right now, Jake's main purpose is find a way to get on base, and he does with a leadoff walk.
Well, one more base runner, and that tying run will come up.
Doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be glorious. Just get on base. That's what it's all about. That's only the third walk of the day given to the Purple Panthers. It'll bring up the sophomore, Brady Bishop, batting from the left side. He'll take a called strike. Now, earlier in the game, you would see Bishop probably trying to just bunt that runner over. But when you're in the seventh inning and you're trailing 5-2, you've got to try to get on base. Whether it's a walk, whether it's a hit, whether it's an error, whether it's a hit batsman, however you can get on base. This one goes high and away, and it counts even to Brady Bishop, the sophomore designated hitter. Swing and a miss. Big number 6 on the back of that purple uniform. Brady Bishop from the left side. If he can put the ball on the ground, he's got a 1 or 2 step advantage, but he puts it up in the air. Third baseman waiting for it to come down. He'll make the catch in front of the third base, and Bishop is retired for the first out of the seventh.
Now batting for the Purple Panthers,
as I was about to say, Bishop batting from the left side, if you can get the ball on the ground, from the left side, you're already a step and a half closer to first base. But that didn't happen. However, we do have another left-hander coming up here, as Jacob Frerichs going to stand in from the left side as well. He swings and misses. And, of course, with one on and one out, that man standing over there in the on-deck circle, Billy Beckham, represents a tying run. You'd like to get him to the plate as a potential tying run. Outside, it's 1-1 on Frerichs. Wind has kind of settled down and blowing a little bit more in from left center. On the inside corner, McBride does a good job of painting the corner there, and the count goes to 1-2 on Frerichs. As we said, Beckham, owner of a triple today, is in the on-deck circle. Ground ball past the third baseman. Frerichs does his job as he laces a single in to left. Down to second goes Jergena. Back to the top of the order go the Purple Panthers, and Billy Beckham represents the tying run.
And that'll bring out the coach for a little powwow.
Well, that's 5 hits on the night for the Purple Panthers. However, 4 of those 5 hits have come in the last 2 innings. So they have gotten a little bit of a response late. Now can they continue the rally? And, of course, Coach McBrain, he's trying to steady his defense and make them realize we're one double play away from the game being over. the grass here on the infield at Gillespie, very plush, very good thick turf. So it's going to deaden any ground ball. And that can make it difficult to turn a double play on a ground ball. Of course, the Purple Panthers, they're not thinking about a ground ball. They're thinking about a triple.
That was their first thing, two triples to start the game.
When you look at the right fielder, he's playing a little bit more than shallow. Left fielder is probably about average depth. Center fielder the same. Center fielder is about straight away, so they're not really favoring Beckham to any one field. Powwow's over to the plate. First pitch is outside to Beckham. Billy flied to center in the first, grounded to short in the third, and tripled and scored in the sixth. So he's 1-for-3, looking for his second hit to be a good one. But he's being very patient at the plate because he knows that although he is the tying run, doesn't count unless he gets on base one way or another. And he looks at ball three.
It's a point you almost have to take a pitch.
Yeah, McBride, who'd had good control early, has now walked one here in the seventh and in danger of walking the bases full with the second walk of the inning. Here's the 3-0 pitch on the corner, called strike one. Now Beckham still looking for the pitch that he wants because he knows the ball four will load the bases and bring the lead run to the plate. And the pitch is ball four. That will be the second walk of the inning, the fourth walk of the game. That will put Beckham down at first, send Frerichs over to second, and Jurgena is first at third. So the 5-2 count means these three runners on base are the potential tying runs. They've got to plate all of them. They have two outs with which to work, and they have the number two runner, two hitter, Tanner Odell, to the plate. First pitch, he'll line this one to the first baseman. He'll smother it, picks it up, tags first. The run will come in, but more importantly for the Bulldogs, they will get the second out. It'll go 3-U for out number two. Coming in to score was Jake Jerniga.
Well, that still now puts a tying run at second base. Two runs down.
Odell, out of the two slots, picked up a couple of RBIs his last two times out with ground outs. Now, as you said, it's going to be left up to De La Cruz. De La Cruz has a single and a triple. He knows if he gets hold of this one, runners are going to be heading home because with two outs, they'll be off and running, and he has the potential to tie it right here. He'll foul this one back. McBride and the Staunton Bulldogs, on the other hand, they realize they're one strike away from a trip to the championship game on Saturday. De La Cruz from the left side, protecting the plate with two strikes. Looks at one high. And the count goes to 1-2. Right now, De La Cruz, a walk for him is the furthest thing from his mind. He wants to hit it and hit it hard. And hit it where they're not. Here comes the delivery. Inside, just missed him. And the count goes to 2-2. This is a good pitch by the pitcher. You don't hit him, but yet you served a purpose by letting him know, don't crowd that plate. 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Back up the middle. It goes. Shortstop comes up with it. No, it goes through. One run coming home. Here comes the second run in, and a two-run single off the bat of Andrew De La Cruz has tied this game up in the top of the seventh. Cruz comes through with his third hit of the day, but none any bigger than this one as he sends home not only Billy Beckham, but also Jacob Frerichs. So two-run score on the two RBI single by Andrew De La Cruz. And guess what? We've got a whole new ball game, Carl.
Yes, indeed. And I tell you, I thought he was going to have a hit, but I didn't think he'd get through the infield. I figured I'd just smother it, and I'd only let one run score. But by gosh, it found a way to creep right over the base, right past the infielder diving.
Yeah, Devin Ray, I think he thought he was going to be able to smother it and keep it in, but somehow or another
it got under his glove and
into the outfield. Now the runner is going to second. He's going to be out at second base. So caught stealing is Andrew De La Cruz, but He is, it'll go 2-6 on the putout. He is the man of the hour as far as the Litchfield Purple Panthers is concerned. They sent six to the plate, trailing 5-2. They plated three runs and did so on two hits. They left none stranded on the bases, but we go to the bottom of the seventh. And the Purple Panthers of Litchfield with two in the sixth, three in the seventh. They've tied this one up 5-5. Don't go away. Back with the bottom of the seventh after these messages on WSMI. Remember the name Andrew De La Cruz. He came in to pitch for the Litchfield Purple Panthers and got him out of a jam in the fifth. Although he gave up one run in the sixth, he plated a couple with a two-run single in the seventh, so he's the man of the hour right now offensively for the Purple Panthers. He may also be the man of the hour defensively as he takes the mound for what will be his actually his third inning of work as he came in the fifth. So he pitched in the fifth, pitched in the sixth, and now he'll pitch in the seventh as we have a 5-5 tie, and it'll be number 7, 8, and 9 hitters due up for Staunton, just as Litchfield had in the top of the 7th. Devin
Boy,
Ray.
The bottom of the orders have been the power of this regionals and also the ladies regional.
Yeah. Devin Ray, who looked at a ball, now swings and fouls one off the left side. It's a 1-1 count. The sophomore shortstop flied out to right, singled and scored and struck out today as he's 1-for-3. This one he launches into center field. Beckham's going to journey back over into right center field. He's still going. And he hauls that one in deep right center field. And Devin Ray is retired for the first out here in the bottom of the seventh.
Now a good 25-mile-an-hour wind at the back of that ball. And we're talking it's probably gone.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You got to like Billy Beckham out in center field. He can go and get him. And usually when he goes and gets him, he makes a catch at the end of a good run. He did so there. And that's going to bring Zach Urey. No, I'm sorry. Urey was replaced in the Bulldog lineup, right? We brought in a new catcher. That was number 2. That was Blimker. Blake Blimker. So it is Blimker at the plate. He'll foul this one back. And the count goes to 0-2 on Blaine. Blimker. Batting here in the bottom of the seventh. Fouls another one back. So he's facing Litchfield pitching for the first time tonight. And he does so here with one out in the bottom of the seventh. Counts 0-2 as he's fouled off a couple good pitches. Now he fouls this one off the umpire's mask. And the count will remain 0-2. Blimker, a sophomore, standing in with one out in the bottom of the second of a 5-5 game. Staunton and Litchfield doing battle. And Blimker fouls another one back. And the count will remain 0-2. I thought the umpire was signaling for help from the first base umpire, but he was wanting the ball that he had. So we get a new baseball into the game. Andrew De La Cruz rocks and fires. Ground ball to short. Comes up. Good hop. And Odell throws out the base runner. So it goes 6-3 for out number 2. As that'll bring in Cullen McBride to the plate. McBride responsible for allowing the tying runs to come in the top of the seventh. Could now send his Bulldogs home happy with a long one. He's walked and singled twice, 2-for-2 on the evening. Cullen McBride. Here comes the first offering. Ground ball to short. Oh, big hop. Good recovery. Nice throw. And the shortstop, Tanner Odle, makes it a 1-2-3 inning for the Litchfield Purple Panthers as they set down the Bulldogs in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. The Bulldogs have plated 5. They've stranded 10. We're going to go to the 8th, tied 5-5, and you're listening to WSMI. For the second day in a row, WSMI announcers say 7's not enough. Let's move to the 8th. And so Carl DeBar, Gary Boker, we're here enjoying extra innings as WSMI is bringing you IHSA 2A regional baseball from Gillespie High School. Litchfield and Staunton tied 5-5. Litchfield came up with 2 in the 6th, 3 in the 7th to tie this one up. And now Ty Dobrynik leads things off here in the top of the 8th with a called strike 1. He'll swing and miss at a breaking ball, and the count quickly goes to 0-2. Dobrynik, Lauderdale, and Kulik do up for the Purple Panthers here in the 8th inning. Cullen McBride, who came in the 6th, gave up an RBI single, then struck out 2 to get out of the 6th without any further damage as the Purple Panthers plated 2. One of those belonged to Nick Yates. Then in the 7th, a leadoff walk and another walk and a couple of singles. And lo and behold, the Purple Panthers picked up 3 and tied this one up 5-5. And now a 2-2 count on the leadoff hitter, Ty Dobrynik, as McBride brings it. And it's high. He's in danger of walking the leadoff hitter for the second inning in a row. Was ahead on the count. Now will he come with the fastball at 3-2? Yes, on the outside corner perhaps, but in any event, a swinging strikeout as Ty Dobrynik goes down for the first out here in the top of the 8th. That'll bring up Chase Lauderdale. Lauderdale was a strikeout victim twice, striking out in the 2nd and looking at strike 3 in the 6th. In between, he grounded out to the shortstop. So Chase Lauderdale, the senior left fielder, going to see if he can get something started here for the Purple Panthers with one out here in the top of the 8th inning. First pitch was fouled back. Second pitch was a ball. The count goes to 1-1 on Lauderdale. Top of the 8th, 5-5, Litchfield and Staunton. Strike 2, a swing and a miss for Lauderdale. The winner goes to the championship game where they'll take on another South Central foe, either Gillespie or Hillsboro. They'll do battle back here tomorrow night. We'll be here to bring you that exciting action as well. Little bit high. Count goes to 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, nobody on, one out, top of the 8th. Way outside, and the count goes full. A swing and a miss. So McBride has settled in now and picked up a couple of K's. That is the 5th and 6th strikeout of Purple Panthers today. That is the 4th strikeout for McBride. He had 2 back in the 6th after he came in. And now, with nobody on and 2 out, he'll face Reese Kulik. Number 18 started out as our pitcher today.
Oh, Reese was on the hook for a loss.
Swings and misses, and the count goes even 1-1.
Litchfield rally.
Yeah, both
bottom of the 7th.
Both of our starters are off the hook. It belongs to the bullpens. It's a battle cry of the Cardinals, isn't it? It belongs to the bullpens.
Earlier and earlier.
Oh.
Games go on.
Swing and a miss, and the count's 1-2 on Kulik. He's wanting to take a hard cut and see if he can give him a lead. Ooh, held back on ball 2. Breaking ball was tempting, but he saw it was heading outside and laid off of it wisely. 2 balls, 2 strikes, nobody on, 2 out, top of the 8th, 5-5. Staunton, Litchfield. Swing and a miss. And McBride strikes out the side here in the top of the inning. Three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. The Purple Panthers have stranded five on the day, but they've plated five. And as a result, we'll go to the bottom of the eighth, tied 5-5, Staunton and Litchfield. You're listening to WSMI. We serve Mid-Illinois, and we like to serve them a lot of outstanding athletic contests. We're doing that this week. Tonight, we're in Gillespie, bringing you extra innings from the Gillespie Class 2A Regional Baseball Tournament. Staunton, the number one seed at 21-4, taking on the Litchfield Purple Panthers, the number nine seed at 8-14, and leading it off for the Bulldogs, a long one to left, and it is out of here. Right out in front of the scoreboard, the Bulldogs leadoff hitter, Marcus Carl, sends all of the Bulldog faithful home happy as he hits a leadoff home run here in the bottom of the eighth inning to straightaway center field right out by the scoreboard. Cleared the fence by not a whole lot, but by enough to send the Staunton Bulldogs on to the championship game. Carl, wow. What a way to end the day.
Well, that's a way to end. Well, think of this. That's the way we started, with him making a great play in center field, robbing a Litchfield player in the first inning. And he ends this game on one quick swing, and there it goes, home run.
That's what you call very efficient, as he got the fastball to his liking, and he was able to park it over the left field fence. Two teams, once again, and we've said this before, and I know a lot of people think it's old hat, but two teams who really played outstanding baseball from the beginning to the end today. The Litchfield Purple Panthers, I was just about to mention, they were the number nine seed. They were 8-14 on the season. Many people would have said they have no business being in the ball game with these Staunton Bulldogs, but somebody forgot to tell the Litchfield Purple Panthers. They came, they played their hearts out today, and their season's going to come to a close, but I guarantee you one thing, they should be holding their heads high as they walk off the field today.
A lot of seniors on that Litchfield team, too, as we noticed when I was giving you the classes. So that's our last game of the year and last game of the school.
And, of course, as we said, an outstanding effort. And, once again, hats off to the leadoff hitter for the Staunton Bulldogs, Marcus Carl. He started things off in the first inning with an outstanding catch there in right center field, a long run for a great catch. That started him off defensively. Then he was a little slow getting started, but showed a good eye as he walked to lead off the bottom of the first, scored the first run of the game for the Staunton Bulldogs. Then, lo and behold, another walk during the second inning. Then he had an RBI single in the fourth inning, flied out to center field in the fifth inning, and lo and behold, in the bottom of the eighth, he sends us home by scoring not only the first but the last run of the game, and the Staunton Bulldogs victorious 6-5. Final thoughts.
Like I say, the center fielder started off the game with a great defensive play and hits a home run to end the game, but you also got to point out the great pitching of Nick Yates.
Yeah,
because actually he left this game feeling pretty good. He was up 4-0, and a couple runs did score, but Litchfield just a good comeback to make it a close game. And then, of course, they tied it up, but they didn't have that extra run. And how good was McBride in that one inning? He strikes out the sides next inning after giving up the tying runs.
Then you look on the other side, Reese Kulik with a good outing today. Andrew De La Cruz, he not only came in and gave him a good relief effort in the latter half of the game, but De La Cruz was a big man at the plate as he had a triple, a single, scored a run, had two RBIs, got things tied up, took it to the extra innings. So many great plays, so many great players. And our hats off to both the Litchfield Purple Panthers, who see their overall season record end at 8-15, and also to the Staunton Bulldogs. They are victorious. They're headed to the regional championship game Saturday with a 22-4 record. They will be taking on the winner of tomorrow night's game, either Hillsboro or Gillespie. We'll have that game coming your way tomorrow night, and we'll have the championship game coming your way Saturday. So stay tuned to WSMI. We want to take this opportunity to thank all the fine folks here at Gillespie for their hospitality. Of course, thanks to all of our sponsors. Without them, we are not able to bring you all of these high school athletic contests. And, of course, thank you to you fans for listening in. Special thanks goes back to the studio, to Tom Williams, for producing tonight's game. For Carl DeBar, this is Gary Boker one final time. Our final score from the Gillespie Class 2A IHSA Regional Baseball Tournament in extra innings, in 8 innings, it is Staunton 6, Litchfield 5. So long from the Diamond.